This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Just start right there, since we heard the soundbite with that question about Uma Abedin passing information on to Anthony Weiner. Do you believe that is a crime?
If there was classified information and it was improperly passed to a person unauthorized to receive it, yes, naturally it's a crime without knowing what the intentions were and so forth. There is potentially a prosecutable crime.
And isn't that what Director Comey said? There was classified information in some of those emails?
What he eventually concluded, the FBI, that is, was that they knew about all those emails before they undertook this additional investigation. So there was nothing new to come from this additional trove of emails.
No, but was that a crime, though? You're saying that was a crime, right?
Whether you've seen the emails before.
Sure, because we were talking about it this morning, Senator. We had a guest earlier saying it seems that General Petraeus got lighter treatment than a lot of people in the intel community thought he should have gotten, and that affected the decisions made on Hillary Clinton, Uma Abedin. You've just said that, based on the testimony yesterday, what she did was a crime. Should it have been prosecuted?
The question of whether it should have been prosecuted, and it still may be, potentially, it's not outside the statute of limitations, so far as I know, is one that the Department of Justice is going to have to decide. And the question is, who will decide it? That's why we need a special prosecutor to review all of this investigative material and questions, including the investigation of the Donald Trump campaign and its connection to Russian meddling in our elections. That's the reason I've been calling for a special prosecutor.
The reason he's been calling for a special prosecutor here, Scott, is Senator Blumenthal, a Democrat, is because he's pointing out that, you know, maybe the government, maybe the Senate is just incapable. They're so politically wrapped up that there's no objectivity here. You know, to me, if you pass on information, regardless of how casual or innocent or whatever or unsuspecting it can be, I mean, when you have that information with you and you've got that kind of clearance and you take it out of the realm of where that information can be protected, like Uma Abedin, what's being suggested here is that she's got it on a personal email that her husband has access to, that is, you know, it's beyond irresponsible. I mean, you don't get classified clearance without going through an incredible amount of training and understanding of what it is that you're going to be responsible for. But it seems that there was a culture that was established within, you know, the Clinton cabal, and I would even say, you know, President Obama, because President Obama's fingerprints were all over some of these emails as well, because they were concerned. In fact, this is going to come out. We're going to talk next week with the authors of Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign, Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes. I mean, what they have brought back to the front here, I think journalists all across the country should be lauding these two, because this is journalism returning to America with this book, what they were able to do and how they present this situation of what happened in the Clinton campaign. And one of the things they brought out was that the Clinton campaign realized that once her emails were exposed and the president had said, you know, he didn't know anything about it, he sure did know about it. They knew that he knew about it because he had gotten emails from her private server. Okay? And this is what is exposed here. So, you know, there are so many. Again, this is moving parts and they love this. This is how they duck and cover, is under all these moving parts that confuse and wear out everybody, because who wants to pursue all this? I don't think they're capable of doing it. And maybe the senator is correct that there needs to be a special prosecutor, only because these guys cannot do their job outside of the realm of politics. This is Bill Martinez Live. The conversation continues. Stay with us, America.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And that's the objective, but you know it's not going to be easy, especially when you see the contention that is taking place. And, of course, the contention and the clash of worldviews that George Barna just talked about. Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Let us know your thoughts. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Paul Neyland is with us right now. He's not another lifelong politician. Oh, no. He's a business executive and inventor. Neyland started out on the factory floor and through God's grace, grit, and determination rose to lead a Fortune 500 manufacturing business around the world. He challenged Speaker Paul Ryan in Wisconsin's 2016 First Congressional District to stop Trans-Pacific Partnerships and to secure America's border. Today, he is waging the battle against the refugee resettlement racket and the leading cause to fight for America's values. Paul, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir.
Great to be on, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to talk about this documentary that is quite revealing and supports the worldview of even our enemies. You know, Bashar al-Assad said that refugees coming into the country would be infiltrated. That others had said that that the bad players within radical Islam would take advantage of the influx of refugees into America, just as they have already demonstrated in Europe. This is the reality. But when you have, as George Barna said, the clash of worldviews that we have right now, where you have a growing viewpoint that says everything's about touchy-feely, we are blind to common sense, it would seem, Paul.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, I titled the documentary Hijra, Radical Islam's Global Invasion, and I struggled with that, Bill. I still struggle with it. I could have just as easily called it Fundamental Islam's Global Invasion, because as I show in the documentary, and I use Islamic imams, in their own words, describing what it is that's going on. This is prescribed in Muslim teachings, that in the Quran, in the Hadith, in the Surah, that they are to perform the Hijra. And Hijra has several meanings, Bill. One is to leave sin behind, and that's what we hear in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Hijra means leave sin behind. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say Hijra means Muhammad's trip from Mecca to Medina. Well, it could also mean that. But what I show, and I show Islamic teachers speaking, is that Hijra is in their writings and their jurisprudence to move Islam around the globe and to move Sharia law around the globe. And that any land on this earth, the Muslim feels that they own it. And it's only currently occupied by somebody else, and they're coming to take it.
Exactly. Well, you know, let's start with leave sin behind, their definition of sin. I mean, they look at Western culture, everything that, not everything, but certainly the majority of what American culture represents is absolute sin to them. And if they feel mandated by their God to eradicate the world, cleanse the world of sin, then they will do what they have been proving to do over these last couple of decades in terms of attacking people, lopping people's heads off, the mutilation of young girls, honor killings, on and on, that goes along with the tenets of their faith, right?
That's absolutely correct. We're not witnessing an aberration of the faith. We're not. Islam views the Quran and associated writings, particularly the Quran. For all Christians who are aware of Martin Luther going and pounding the changes that he viewed the church needed to make on the church door, they were not to the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were never reformed, okay? They have been the same since God's finger wrote them into the tablets that Moses carried down. That is exactly how Muslims view the Quran. They view it as literally the word of God. So how can any mere mortal reform the word of God? It can't happen. Mm-hmm. The only reformation right. that's going to happen in Islam is towards fundamentalism. Towards the strict reading of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem for us.
Exactly.
That's a problem for us.
Right. Well, and, you know, and I think that there is some sobriety here in terms of an indictment on Western Christianity and how lax it has been in its faith. I mean, here it is in America, you know, because of free speech and our open-mindedness, you know, core tenets, you know, Jesus himself can be disrespected in this culture all under the guise of First Amendment rights. But yet you try to do that in Islam and you're dead.
Yeah, we saw with the Charlie Hebdo killing.
Mm-hmm.
We saw with the attack in Garland, Texas, that was unsuccessful. Thank God there was a police officer there to stop those killers. We see it all over. Oklahoma, the woman you, I shouldn't say it was, you were alluding to her because lots of people have had their heads removed.
Right.
It is a culture of Islam does not mean peace.
Mm.
Islam means submission, and it has meant submission since the time 600 years after Christ died, was buried, and rose again, that Islam was dreamt up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in the Quran, there's really two Qurans in the Quran, Bill. Mm-hmm. One was written in Mecca, and the first 15 or so years of Muhammad's career, he was a preacher in Mecca, marginally successful. He had 150 followers. But he started stirring trouble. And at first he was preaching, we all need to get together, get along. The Jews, the Christians, the Zoroastrians, we all need to get along. And then he started to twist that a little bit and started to cause trouble. And they were going to kill him. And that's why he went to Medina. And when he got to Medina, he claims that he received new verses from Allah. And they supersede all the previous verses. They call it abrogation. They abrogate, they do away with those. And that's a problem for us because in the news media, as you just said, and even in Christian churches, they'll say, oh, well, it says this in the Quran and that means it's okay. No, you have to take it in context. So that's where we find ourselves. You're exactly right. Christians need to get involved in politics and get involved in defending the faith.
Exactly. Paul Neelan, who recently released a groundbreaking documentary on scenes of chaos unfolding across the globe, as millions of Muslims make their way out of the Middle East and into the West. He says Western governments are unprepared for the onslaught of Muslim migrants, and world leaders appear completely ignorant of what the underlying mass movement is all about. We're talking with Paul about that, about Hijra and his new documentary. More with Paul right after this.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
I've been to church, I've read the book, I know he's here, but I don't look near as often as I should. Yeah, I know I should. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just slow down to stop and stare. Open my eyes and man, I swear, I saw God today.
Your program, Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
I saw God today. You know, listening to the lyric here, you know, you wonder why this country is on the wrong track. And, you know, sometimes we play these songs, and I'm just grateful. You know, I just think, God, okay, maybe that's the message. Maybe that is the one word that one person needs to hear that will make a difference. God is all around. But we just, you know, we just take it so casually. And by contrast here, you know, we see what is happening in another faith that takes their faith very seriously. And it's being demonstrated in such a way that I gotta believe, Paul Neelan, that, this is challenging people of faith to say, do I have that kind of commitment? And, you know, even though we can say on the surface that this is extreme, it's pretty crazy, you know, the way it's being demonstrated, certainly not reflective of the God of love that we know from the Bible, or even a just God. But God does things in season. And when there is a time and a season, then it will be clear, I believe, that it is the hand of God. And certainly right now, the radical Muslims, and you just say Muslims at large, and I understand where you're coming from, because my concern from day one has been, somebody could say they're a moderate Muslim, but what is the leap from them to go moderate to radical? If you're a Muslim, and as you say, you are adhering to the Quran, whatever version you want to interpret at that time, then if suddenly oppression comes in and you have a choice to make, I think it's a lot easier if you are raised in the Muslim faith to go radical. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And, you know, you'll see more Muslims killing other Muslims than any other faith killing Muslims. And the reason for that is because they know if they can move, more Muslims to be activated. In my documentary, there is a clip that I play that a gentleman's giving a speech, and he's talking about the Muslim who's praying next to you. And there's a word that they use for somebody who is basically a traitor to the faith. They're a hypocrite. That's munafiqeen. So they say the munafiqeen could be sitting right next to you. He could be praying right next to you on a mat. And he is not performing what Allah says he should. He's not performing jihad. He's not performing in the name of Allah. And so when a Christian hears that, what I take away from that is if a Muslim can't tell if another Muslim is going to perform jihad as it's prescribed in the Quran, how could I tell? How can you tell, Bill? How could your listeners tell? Mm-hmm. How could you know if this Muslim's generation, if their offspring or their grandchildren aren't going to interpret the Quran exactly as it's written, as it prescribes them to kill Christians and Jews, which they refer to as pigs and dogs in their Quran, wherever they find them.
Exactly.
How are we to know that? So since we don't know that, and since we do know as Christians, Satan is in the world. Satan tells the Muslim, you have to do these things in order to get into heaven, right? Because we know you don't. We know we can't earn our way into heaven. We know through God's grace, he died on the cross for us. And if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have, then by his grace, by him taking those nails for us, we have the ability to go. But the Muslim believes he has to earn his way in.
Exactly.
All Muslims. Mm. Frightening.
And they're indoctrinated, to your point, Paul, at an early age. This is one of the things that West does not understand. The orientation and the indoctrination happens at an early age, and we have had generations of young kids that have been indoctrinated. And, you know, recently I was exposed to a video of a graduating, you know, I guess amounts to like a kindergarten class. And part of the demonstration was the acting out of killing of Jews and the statements that they made about the infidels and Christians and that it was their charge. I mean, here's these young 4 or 5 year olds acting like they're killing people, and you go, wow, is it any wonder? I mean, and then on top of that, you have a boss who recently met with the president at the White House, and I'm not even sure President Trump addressed this issue, but Bibi Netanyahu said it was one of the main things that the president should address, and that is that a boss and the Palestinians have a $300 million budget that they hand out to people who have killed Jews and American citizens. And, oh, yeah, by the way, interestingly enough, America gives the Palestinians $300 million. So, in essence, are we supporting this this egregious reward of killing of Jews and Americans that is handed out to these people, these surviving family members for, you know, merit points that they get for killing Jews and Americans?
Yeah, it's just sickening what we spend our tax dollars on in this country. And as you said in your wonderful lead up, thank you for that build up of my background. I've run businesses all over the globe and been very successful at that. And the reason I ran against Paul Ryan was Trans-Pacific Partnership. But the other reason was this very, very dangerous refugee resettlement racket that's going on. And I show in the film how the U.S. taxpayers' dollars are funneled through these voluntary organizations. They call them VOLAG. And they are paid, you're not going to believe this, the top guy at one of these places is paid over $650,000 per year. Wow. And they're paid based on how many refugees they get into this country. So all of the top, all of the 9 VOLAGs that there are that the U.S. government partners with, I research their top 5 or 6 people in all of their organizations. They all make over 6 figures.
Yes.
There is a profit motive involved here. So it's frightening.
You know, well, Paul, you and I know it's the greatest management principle. People will do that which they get rewarded for. So we're rewarding and incentivizing more refugees. They don't care. It's just like our welfare system. You get people that are rewarded to build a welfare system, and what do? Hey, come on in. The door's wide open. Here's all these benefits. And forget about it, that it's coming out of their neighbor's pockets or anybody else, because somehow, you know, we've got to rob from the rich and give to the poor, you know?
Yeah, and you said something very important earlier, Bill. I'd like to bring that back up. You said we have a responsibility. The church has a responsibility. The church doesn't talk politics because people feel, particularly conservative churches, feel like, oh, you know, we're too nice. We're not going to have this conversation. We need to have this conversation.
Exactly.
And people need to vote. You know, there's two things once you get past policy for a candidate, money and manpower. And if you're not helping with one of the two of those things, your candidate won't get in. Not every candidate is going to be independently wealthy like, say, a Donald Trump.
Exactly.
And would we even want only our richest people running for office?
No, I don't think so.
I think we want our Christians. So.
Without a doubt. Paul, I'm sorry we have to cut you off because we've got to go to break here. But remind everybody how they can be in touch with your documentary and your website. We got 10 seconds.
Great. Go to paulnehlen.com, N-E-H-L-E-N.com, and go to the WND Superstore also for the film.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits.
benefits.
We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369. During workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text ACTIVE55 to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Yeah, but we got to follow up the opinion with some action. This is why there is a call to action and a call to activate the constituency and the voter politic here to get involved. For so long, we haven't been involved. You know, I remind you that that soundbite that we played the other day with Richard Dreyfuss and his call to action to young millennials. But I think we could all heed the call that he put out there. And this comes from, you know, somebody who is interested, very interested in getting the government back on track. Steve Moore, as promised, is with us. And Steve, along with Larry Kudlow and Arthur Laffer and Steve Forbes, have, you know, co-founded the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And Steve, always good to have you with us. And thank you so much for all the efforts that you and Forbes and Kudlow and Laffer are putting into this. And, you know, I've been saying we really needed to have you come on here and explain what the heck just happened with this round of budget negotiations that the winning team ended up losing so badly.
Well, good morning.
Yes, right. I'm going, let's get Steve in here quick to help us understand here, because this thing looks so bad. I mean, when you have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, high-fiving and being the winners out of this whole deal, and, you know, Sean Spicer trying to put the spin on what happened, conservatives are in shock this morning.
Well, I think what happened is very clear is that, you know, Democrats were threatening to shut down the government if they didn't get their way, and Republicans blinked. And, you know, I think I wish there had been more of a negotiation and a compromise. But Republicans didn't want to get blamed for a shutdown of the government. Now, I'll say this. It's only a temporary, funding of the government. So these fights on things like the funding of the wall and funding of Planned Parenthood and so on those will be, get back to those issues and then have to renegotiate them in a few months. But I think given the fact that the health care fight is front and center, that we're trying to get this tax cut done, Republicans didn't want to have a big fight about shutting down the government right now. So that's the story.
Well, isn't the pressure on them now, Steve? I mean, you had advised the president, you and Larry and Art and
yeah.
And Steve Forbes had advised the president during the campaign. What's your advice right now?
Well, I mean, if I advised him on this budget, I would have said, look, if the Democrats want to shut down the government because they don't want to fund border security, let's have that fight. You know, have it in public. You know,
right.
I'm not sure why we flinched on that. I mean, if Charles Schumer wants to run around the country and said, I shut down the government because I don't want a secure border, I don't think that's a very strong argument. So I do wish that we had shown a little bit more resolve on this. But it is true. You know, I've been in this business 35 years. You know, I remember we had some shutdowns to the government under the Reagan administration, and it was Reagan's fault. And then when Bill Clinton was president and the government was shut down, it was the Republicans and Congress' fault.
Right.
And then when George W. Bush was president and the Democrats were on Congress, it was George W. Bush's fault. You know, and so no matter who's in Congress, who runs the presidency, you know, under Obama, when the Republicans ran the Congress and Obama was president, it was Republicans' fault. So it's always Republicans' fault. Have you noticed that?
Well, of course. But, you know, and you'd think by now, Steve, that they would get that and understand, yeah, it's going to be your fault, but is it going to be your fault for the right reason? Is it something that you're willing to fall on your sword for? And I would think that, look, if you shut down the government now, this is me, just in terms of where we are with the administration. We're just past 100 days. We got a long time yet to go. And you know, you can, if you make mistakes, you can make mistakes early. And because you've got a little bit more of a window opportunity to rectify any mistakes you make early. And so better to make those mistakes early if you think that it could possibly be one. But I think conservatives and people that voted for President Trump that have given the power to the Republican Party are looking for something they can hang their hats on. But, I mean, you know, yes, they got a Supreme Court justice, no doubt about it. But all these other things, whether it's Obamacare, you know, Planned Parenthood issues, the wall, certainly, you know, they're like going, whoa, what is going on here? I mean, we won and we're losing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think in this case, Republicans could have made a very strong case to the public that, by the way, they would have been able to pass the budget. That, you know, the Republicans have 52 in the Senate, but Democrats were going to filibuster the budget, which means that they would have required 60 votes in the Senate. And, of course, the Republicans only have 52. So Republicans would have said, it's not like we shut down the government. We couldn't even get a vote on the budget because the Democrats wouldn't allow it. So I think they could have had the moral high ground here. And when it comes to things like funding of Planned Parenthood and building the wall and other issues that were brought up. I mean, in every case, the Republicans had the stronger argument to make the American people. I just don't think they felt like the media would give them a fair shake, and you can understand why they would think that, because the American media doesn't.
Well,
exactly.
So, hey, look, you're going to lose anyway, so why don't you lose fighting at least? And could they have taken this to a nuclear option as well, Steve, in order to to mitigate the filibuster on this?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't know if they would have done that. They possibly could have. Look, I'm a big believer, by the way, in the filibuster. I don't want the filibuster to go away. I think it's one of our greatest protections as conservatives that it should take 60 votes to pass everything. And, you know, and by the way, let's not forget, you know, there'll be times when we don't have, you know.
No, I understand.
There'll be times when they have all the power. So we want, I mean, the filibuster is one of the most important powers of the minority, but it can be abused. And Democrats have used it, I think, in an abusive way, and that's why Gorsuch, you know, for example, the never before had a Supreme Court nominee been filibustered, and that's why using the nuclear option, I think, in that case, on a Supreme Court judge was a very appropriate thing to do. I don't think Republicans should get in the routine of just knocking out the filibuster, because then Democrats will use that against us, although they'll use that against us anyway, because they make up the rules as they go along.
Exactly.
You know, the old saying, you know, if liberals didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. So,
yeah, without a doubt. So tax reform, you write, why are Republicans making tax reform so hard? It seems like everything they're dealing with, they're making so hard.
Well, I just, you know, by the way, that piece had an enormous impact because Trump read that piece, and it's one of the reasons that he released his tax plan last week, which was a great plan. I love the plan. But my point was, and I wrote that piece with Steve Forbes and Larry Kudlow and Art Laffer, and we basically said, look, Donald, get going on this. You know, the economy needs the tax cut. You're taking too long. It's, the economy has flattened out a little bit in the last couple of months because investors are getting nervous about whether this tax cut is going to happen or not. I remember the euphoria that we had in the markets after Trump was elected in November, December, and January. That's petered out a little bit because, you know, ever since the health care bill was defeated, investors and businesses are getting nervous about whether they can get the tax cut done. So you get it done. The economy needs the, you know, the pick-me-up. And by the way, you know, we've been having this discussion about voters, and what's going to matter most when in the midterm elections, of course, when Donald Trump is up for re-election, is when the economy is growing. And if it is, you know, Trump is going to win a landslide re-election.
Right.
But if it's not, he's going to lose. So we've got to get the economy moving, and putting this tax cut off till next year is a really bad idea.
Well, look what it did with Ronald Reagan. It took Ronald Reagan, 18 months to when he started changing things. So we need that runway of time, right, to your point?
Your historical point is a good one. But just to clarify, so Reagan actually passed his tax cut by August of his first year of office. So that would be like the equivalent of August of this year. But the problem is Reagan phased in the tax cut slowly over time. So it's investors didn't really get going, you know, and employers didn't get going employing people until the tax cut was fully phased in by the end of 1982. And then once the tax cut, you recall, you know, when the tax cut really took effect, oh my gosh, the economy exploded. So that was one of the points we made to Trump is don't delay the tax cut. Get it done now and make it retroactive to like May 1st. What's today? May 2nd, right? Let's make it retroactive to, you know, May 1st, 2017. So business will actually get going spending right now.
Well, Steve Moore, is there any bright side in this budget for conservatives to where they're not jumping off the buildings here?
Well, the one bright side is it's only temporary. It's only a few months, and we're going to revisit this fight in a few months. And let's get tougher next time. Let's develop some spine, and let's make the American people know why it is Democrats are trying to hold up the budget, because they don't want spending cuts. They don't. By the way, has there ever been a time when the only time I can ever recall
Steve,
30 years Democrats?
We're all out of time. Steve Moore, thank you, Steve.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Be
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
You come right in. Into all my brokenness, into all my hopelessness. I am not alone. You come right in.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information on how you can connect with our incredible independent network of over 280 affiliates, also around the world via shortwave. William Hazelgrove is back with us. A new book. We're going to be talking about the infamous TR, where that is Teddy Roosevelt, The Forging a President, how the Wild West created Teddy Roosevelt. William, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Well, William Hazelgrove is the author of Madam President. As you recall, we spoke with him about a year ago. The Secret Presidency of Edith Wilson, a Literary Guild selection and History Book Club selection, as well as 10 novels, including The Pitcher, Junior Library Guild selection. And, of course, now we're talking about his latest book on Teddy Roosevelt. What brought you to this story that you had to write, William?
You know, I was reading a biography of Teddy Roosevelt, and I hit this part where his wife and his mother died on the same day in 1883.
I know. Is that incredible? That is
wow. It's an incredible tragedy. In 1883, this happens. He's 26, this sickly, asthmatic little guy, and then he does a very interesting thing. He goes west. He goes to the Dakota Territory, the Badlands, for 3 years and lives this entirely different life and recreates himself. And again, this is the forging of president, how the Wild West created Teddy Roosevelt is the title, obviously, but he is forged out there and comes back the barrel-chested Teddy Roosevelt that we know through history.
Well, and I want people to understand here so they can appreciate where TR was at this point. Like you said, asthmatic, a sickly kid, and all of a sudden he kind of like does Mary Tyler Moore, throws his hat up in the air, spins around, tells everybody he's heading west. So here's this kid that you would have thought, you know, not all that tough, is going to, the last of, I guess, the unexplored part of America here, right?
You're absolutely right. 1890, the frontier is declared closed. Geronimo's still out there. There's still the Indian War. Roosevelt gets on the last years of the Wild West. He gets out there, this little guy in big, thick Coke bottle glasses with a buckskin coat. Immediately, things happen to him. What happens? He's out on the plains looking for a horse. Five Indians gallop up on him. Again, people are massacred. all the time out there.
Right.
Roosevelt swings down, puts his Winchester across the saddle, holds them off. They say, we're peaceful. He says, absolutely not. Stay away. He holds them off, and then they follow him all the way back, but he comes back. His stock immediately goes up in the West.
Wow. Well, so here this starts with him losing his wife and his mother. He heads west, and as you write about in the book, I mean, this was really kind of the refiner's fire for one Teddy Roosevelt. Talk about being forged, you know, by a circumstance. But let's go, you know, after tragedy in his personal life, he feels, okay, I'm going to go in and search for myself, find out what I'm all about, and head in, you know, head west, where all the niceties of everything that he grew up with, you know, what happened to them, right? They're all missing.
Exactly. You know, Roosevelt had a great quote where he said, black hair rarely sits close to the rider who rides fast. Action. Whenever he has tragedy, he goes for action. So what else does he do? He's out there. He goes to a little town called Mingusville. Mingusville is his bad town out there. It's with shoot-em-ups. Roosevelt goes into a saloon. There's actually a guy with his guns out shooting at the place. He goes and sits down behind the stove thinking this guy won't see him. He comes over to him, says, Four Eyes is buying drinks for the house. Roosevelt ignores him. He stays over him. Finally, Roosevelt says, if I have to, I have to. He stands up, cold cocks the guy twice, knocks him out dead cold. Again, his stock rises up.
Exactly.
You know, in the West, this is where he's starting to, you know, become a man, and he's also recreating himself as this cowboy ethos of you have to back up what you say. It's beginning, and I have to say, Bill, that it's amazing he survives all the things that happened to him. I started to believe in destiny when I researched this, because anybody else would have been killed many times over.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, here you are, you're bullying a bully, and you're going into a territory. I mean, we read about the Dakota, and you talk about the Wild West and, you know, guns a-blaring. He puts himself right in the middle of it all, right?
Yeah, he does, really. And, you know, here's a guy who was so sickly before he went out, his father would take him through Manhattan at night, have him hang off the carriage, right? He has such bad asthma, and open his mouth while he rode full out, while he drives his carriage, trying to force air into his lungs. So this is a guy who's physically very weak. But what's he do? Once he gets out there, he decides he wants to go hunt a buffalo. He goes out. They can't find the buffalo. It gets worse than that. Their horses run off. They're way out in the middle of the Badlands. Indians are all around them. They lay down to sleep on the ground. It starts raining on them. The guy next to him, a guy named Bill Ferris, hears Roosevelt go, by Jove, this is fun. I mean, this is a guy who has a very different idea of what fun is.
Exactly. Well, you know, and the thing is, you know, when you read about this, you're thinking, what did he do when he was on that train heading west? Did he, like, write up his personal bucket list or something?
You know, it's funny because it does have that feel of a bucket list. But, you know, he takes the train out there and gets off in the middle of the night in the worst town on the line. This is known as the absolute worst time. Here's another thing that happens, though. He's out on a roundup. And this is where you're rounding up cattle.
Mm-hmm.
The cattle start to stampede. He's running through the night. He goes off a cliff into the Little Missouri River. The horse flips over, falls down next to him. He falls down to the river. They both get swept down. Roosevelt manages to get back on his horse and keeps riding with the roundup.
No way.
This is a guy. Yeah, this is a guy who just the amount of sheer things happen. Another time, he tries to cross the Little Missouri on a dam that's submerged in with ice floes. They tell him, "Don't do it! Don't do it!" He does it. Falls off into the ice, disappears. Everybody thinks, well, that's it. He drowned. Pops up downriver on his horse and gets to the other side. This is a guy who cannot be stopped.
Yeah, here's a guy with a sickly upbringing and everything else, and all of a sudden, he is outside of his character doing things that his father would have never believed he would do, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, when he came back from the West, people could not believe that this was the same man. He was barrel-chested, had this big voice, and again, you know, he is remaking himself. And, you know, it's interesting because when he's out on the prairie, he's by a fire with all the cowboys out there around him. And this one man says to him, he says, you know, it'll get better for you. Because Roosevelt's still depressed about what happened to him. Roosevelt says, no, it'll never get better. He says, yes, it will. And one day you won't be out here, you know, running cattle. You'll go back, and one day you'll be president. So, I mean,
wow.
He saw something in him
very early on
in his life.
Well, you imagine a perfect stranger out in this situation sees that he could be the president of the United States. And, of course, here we know that he becomes the 26th president. of the United States. And this is incredible. And William, in your book, you talk about how Roosevelt learned from the broken country, the quote unquote broken country, the Wild West. And how did he apply this to his presidency?
Well, of course, he goes and he has the Great White Fleet go around, the Panama Canal, sets aside millions of acres in time and conservation is hardly known. And here's another thing. In 1912, after his presidency, he's running into the Bull Moose Party. He's in Milwaukee. A man comes up to him, shoots him right in the chest. Roosevelt has his speech folded twice and his glasses case, the bullet still penetrates his chest, lodged in a rib. People around go, you have to go to the hospital right now. You have to go. Roosevelt says, absolutely not. I'm going to give my speech in Milwaukee. He goes on, speaks for 90 minutes while bleeding all the way down his pants leg from this wound. Then he goes to the hospital. But, of course, his famous line is, it takes more than a bullet to stop a bull moose.
There it is. Wow. You know, William, were you surprised, I mean, with some of these stories? Obviously, you have studied TR, and then you start, you know, you come across this thread of heretofore undeclared stories about how exceptional and how destined this president was.
Yeah, I mean, you really see that the West, this was the young man's adventure. And Roosevelt wanted to jump into that mythology of the Wild West and live it. And he was able to, you know, one time he was out and he was camping and there were some Indians nearby and the man with him says, we're going to go over and see him. And Roosevelt says, are you crazy? He goes, nope, we're going to go see him. They go see him. They have a shooting match. Roosevelt shoots well. They come back and the man says, now they won't bother us. You always want to know who your neighbors are. If they didn't think you can shoot better than they are, they won't bother you.
Well, good point. I guess the things that you learn when you're forged by, you know, this kind of adversity, which is absolutely fascinating. For you, what was the big find, William, for you on TR as you were discovering all this new territory about him?
You know, I think what I found, and I didn't know this, I did not know how desperately ill he was as a child, where his father literally said to him, you have the mind but not the body, and without the body, the mind cannot go far. He had what we would call Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. He had terrible asthma. He had insomnia. He suffered from depression. He was very, very weakly as a child. And again, they didn't think he would survive. Now, flash forward to this guy who, after the Spanish-American War, after he charged up San Juan Hill, decides he wants to go for a swim in the bay. Everybody says to him, Colonel, don't do that. There's lots of sharks out there. But Roosevelt sees this wreck he wants to explore. Says, absolutely not. Lieutenant, you're going to accompany me. Then he goes swimming out there, and all the generals and stuff are motioning to him, and Roosevelt says, what do they want? And the lieutenant says, well, Colonel, they're saying we're surrounded by sharks. And Roosevelt's swimming, he says, poppycock. I've done a thorough study of sharks, and they will not bother you. Well, they follow him all the way out to the wreck. Roosevelt's naked, walking all over the wreck. He says, okay, Lieutenant, time to go back. And they're surrounded by sharks again. Again, they don't touch him. They swim all the way back with the sharks. Again, this is a man's destiny. He has a larger destiny.
Well, again, William Hazelgrove, congratulations on the book, Forging a President, How the Wild West Created Teddy Roosevelt. Book, of course, available at all the usual places, right?
Yeah, it's available everywhere. You can go to my website, williamhazelgrove.com, but it's in Barnes & Noble, or if you just put in Forging a President, it'll pop right up.
Oh, good fun. Thank you so much. Great job on this. And, of course, we're going to link it at our website, too, at billmartinezlive.com. William Hazelgrove, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, William. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely, and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers.